Recording is on.
Okay. This is the November 1st, 2021 BC Edu Task Force call. And I'm going to do the agenda review, and then we'll get into our topics for the day. First of all, an IP note. Anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreements signed. Thanks. You also must ensure that you have a W3 account. And here is the link to the W3C Community Contributor License Agreement. These minutes and audio recording of everything said on this call are archived. We use chat and IRC to cue speakers during these calls, as well as take minutes. In the chat, please type Q plus to add yourself to the queue and Q minus to remove yourself from the queue. And if you're not on, if you're just calling in, you can just ask us to be added to the queue. Okay, of the group here, we do need a scribe for today's meeting. Anybody volunteer to be a scribe? Okay, John, may I call on you to be the scribe today? Can you give it a shot for us?
Can you remind me? I just have to chat, type in chat, right? Or do I have
yep.
to, or do I, have a document I fill out? I can't recall.
No, you can just do it in the chat. Okay. And so you just type the person's name and then what they said, pull in what they said. And it doesn't have to be word for word, just like overall, just sure. As though you are taking notes. So that others, if they are reading, coming in later, they'll be able to see what happens without automatically going to the recording.
And to type a name, is it an at sign or is it?
Nope. So you can do it like this. I'm going to actually put this in. So right here. I'm going to do chair. And just, that's me. But you can say, Carrie introducing. Or how about this? John to be described. That's how to do it here. Typos are fine. I can fix them later. There are guidelines for doing scribing. I don't have those here in front of me with little tips and stuff. But really, I'm the person that reviews the minutes. So whatever you put in there, I can always correct later, like typos and things. So don't worry about it. Sorry to put you on the spot. You feel like being brave? Can you do it for us? All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Okay. Let's get to some introductions and reintroductions. Is there anybody new to this call that would like to make an introduction today?
Hello. I think I'm new. And also I can open maybe my cam. Yeah. Here. Hello. Hi, everyone. My name is Hakan, and I'm a PhD student at Anadolu University in the Department of Open and Distance Learning in Turkey. And currently, I'm a PhD visiting scholar at Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana. And for my PhD thesis, I'm working on blockchain in education. And this is the main reason why I'm here. I was silently following the great works of CCG group and subgroups. I'm so happy to be here, and I'm so happy to meet all of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Hakan. Nice to meet
you. Nice to meet you. Thank you.
Hey, any other introductions? I think it's a small group, so we all know each other here. Any reintroductions? Okay. Okay, I'm going to move on to our announcement and reminders, but if you decide to jump on and would like to do some reintroductions or have any of your own announcements, just add yourself to the queue. We'll get to that. Okay, the first reminder, and I think all of you know this, but for those listening to the recording later, if you aren't on the VC Edu Task Force mailing list, you can join at this link. Tomorrow at the CCG call, it's going to feature Wyoming State Senator Chris Rothfuss, Claire Sullivan, Christopher Allen, and Daza Greenwood, who are going to share an overview of Wyoming's approach to digital identity. This sounds pretty interesting. I know Christopher Allen has been working on this for a really long time. So this is a link to that agenda if you are interested in attending that. Also tomorrow, there's the VC API call. And they're going to do a VCA API data flow review of Chappie. I think this looks really great. So this is a link to that agenda. And also this Wednesday, Drummond Reed from Evernym is hosting a webinar about why the web needs decentralized identifiers. And if you are interested in that, I'm going to give you a link to it here. So all of those are great things going on this week. And lastly, I want to see if Matthias is here. He's not. I'm very interested in the NC name change. So I'm going to try and reach out to him and see if he can tell us more about that next week. Okay, does anybody have any other announcements or things you'd like to add or say right now before we get into our first agenda item? Okay. So the first agenda item has to do with the VC Edu co-chair election or potential election. So we have two open slots for co-chairs. And the link I'm going to put in the chat, and I'll put a description so John doesn't have to type it. Co-chair. Oops. Sorry. Hold on. Okay, so this is a link to the role description. And as I've said before, I find this a very fulfilling role because I get to learn everything that is going on. And I always want to know what's going on so that we can really get this moving and we can implement it, we can understand it. And if you're co-chair, you're in the center of all of that. So if you're a very curious person and if you're trying to figure out what is going on at your company or your organization, it's a really great role. It's a little bit hard for one person to do. So with three people, the responsibilities get distributed, and that makes it a lot easier. So here's how we're going to do this. So I asked the CCG chairs the best way to fill these roles. What we're going to do is we're going to have a nomination period for 2 weeks. Those who are interested will self-nominate by sending an email to the public VC Edu at W3.org email, which is our mailing list email. And in that email, you can describe, you know, why you would like to be co-chair and, you know, what interests you about this work, anything you want this group to know, because it'll be this group that will this task force group that will vote on the co-chairs. If there are only two nominations, then those two candidates will be our co-chairs. But if there's more than two nominations, we're going to hold a vote. We're going to use an application that Manu used recently for the VC API name voting called upavote.com. And what we'll do is it'll be a ranked choice voting election mechanism. So voters can rank candidates by preferences in their ballots. So what we'll do is, we have 2 weeks to put in nominations. And then on Monday, November 15th, I'll ask the candidates to make a statement and answer questions. Once again, if we only have two candidates, then they will be our co-chairs. And so we'll just ask them to introduce themselves. But if we do have an election, then the voting period will be open right after that meeting on the 15th. and it will close on November 21st, which will be the Sunday before the next meeting, and we'll announce the new co-chairs on the 22nd. And does anybody have any questions? All right. With that, we're going to move on to use cases. Just going to make sure there's nobody here in the queue. Okay, good. So we are continuing to work towards use cases like many others who are in our space right now. And we are working to populate this document. Let me put this up for you. So this will end up being our official document. Okay. And I started a Google Doc that we could just work in directly so we could stay out of Respec and GitHub for now for those who don't do this much. So this is the Google Doc. So this is where we'll be working. And then I'm happy to work on and with others, hopefully, on getting into the final Respec document. But I started stubbing it out here. So my goal is to start reviewing the use cases we have submitted and start populating this. And maybe next week we can talk more about how others can start contributing to that. I am going to go through the use cases we have in the repository now and see how we can get those aligned with the newer template and also see how we get the newer template a little bit more aligned with the use case doc. I'll be thinking about that a little bit. We can talk more about that next week. Also, I just still want to encourage folks to write your own use cases. I know that I have quite a few more to write that I would like to put in there that I think might represent ones that you have too, but just in case, please add your own. This is the template. Okay, and then with that, Matt Lyle is here from Georgia Tech. And so he has two use cases that he's written that I'm interested in going over, and he's going to review for us today. Matt, do you want to share your screen to show the documents, or do you want me to share mine?
I can share mine.
I'll put the links in the chat for you.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see here. Okay. This is the first time sharing on Jitsi. Can someone confirm you see it okay?
You do. It's a little bit to the right of the screen. Is there a way for you to move it over at all?
To the right of the screen.
Yeah. I think you need to hide the chat window.
Oh, yes. I hit the chat and it got centered.
Oh, okay.
It's small now. It's fine now.
I'm all good. Small. Okay.
I'll put the link in the chat so others can read it too. Give them to themselves.
Okay. So, I did two, use cases. The first one is thinking about Georgia Tech professional education, which is, for those who aren't familiar, it's, you know, a lot of colleges have continuing education or professional education or that kind of group. So this use case is the main actor is Jane, who's an employee at a local company, and she wants to get a promotion. So she comes to Georgia Tech Professional Education. I just chose one of our existing programs that we offer. And this one had, I think, maybe just enough complexity to be a good use case. So she wants to earn, a certificate from Georgia Tech Professional Education called Advanced Problem Solving Certificate. The way this certificate works, there's four courses. Each course is like a 1-day in-person course. And then at the end of those four courses, you get a advanced problem solving certificate. So the other slight wrinkle to the use case, and this is all from this description here, but the other slight wrinkle, is that Jane would like both the cumulative credentials showing that she's completed the four courses, but also credentials for each of the four courses. And then the last wrinkle is that, Jane still wants a printable certificate for the cumulative credential. I put that in because that's still for GTPE. A lot of their clients, a lot of the companies that come to them still want printed certificates. Their systems aren't quite ready for digital credentials. So I did this as like a interim solution. Okay. So that's the overall, the overview, applicable standards. A lot of these I copied from existing use cases other people wrote because they seemed applicable here too, but open badges, verifiable credentials, verifiable presentations, probably comprehensive learner records, decentralized identifiers. I put a comment, again, this is something I copied from another use case, but I think Did Web for Issuer was listed in a few places. And at least for a digital credentials consortium, I think we're thinking of that as a temporary solution. So to be determined, I guess. And then OIDC. And then applicable technologies, the learning management system that, GTPE uses, but also the student information system. In this case, that's Canvas and Genius for Georgia Tech professional education. GT authentication, a wallet, some kind of third party, relying party verifier application, and then a talent management system or whatever it might be called at local company. The goals of the primary actor is to get to advance her career. The actors in this case are Jane, the employee, Georgia Tech Professional Education, and Jane's employer. I wasn't sure how detailed or fine-grained to get there. There's probably multiple actors for B and C as well if you're talking about individuals, but I thought that might be good enough here. Preconditions, Jane needs to have a wallet, although I'm not so sure that's a precondition. We have a grad student here that's doing some UX research on digital credentials, and she just sent me a draft of her first findings from the interview she's done this semester. And it calls into question a little bit, like, how important is a wallet long term? So maybe we can talk more about that. But I did put for this use case, Jane needs to have a wallet. GTPE needs a method for issuing. They also need to produce a printable certificate for the cumulative credential. And then local company needs a method for verifying and ingesting. And that probably could have been two separate preconditions. They need one. One is that they verify and the other is ingesting. I'm not looking, Carrie, I'm not looking at the chat. So just interrupt me if anybody wants to stop at any point. Or
you're good, Matt. Okay. No worries. You're doing great.
Flow of events. I kind of did this. I split this up in two. So the first bit is the flow of events in the current state where a local company still wants that printable certificate and they're not really doing anything with the digital credentials. And then I did a separate, flow of events for when they can. So anyway, she completes the course. In this case, it's an in-person course. Because it's in-person, someone at GTPE marks her as completed the course in the learning management system. And then the learning management system presents a deep link probably and issues the, or allows Jane to claim the credential for that specific course. And then Jane adds or claims the credential or adds it to her wallet for that first course. And then basically we repeat those steps for courses 2 through 4. So at the end of course 4, her wallet already has 4 credentials in it. And then upon completing the 4 courses, likely what would happen is the student information system issues the program certificate. I say likely because that doesn't happen now. A lot of this is more manual. But the student information system see that she's completed all 4 courses, issues the program certificate. So once again, she gets a deep link and adds it to her wallet. But then this time she's also provided a printable certificate. And this detail came from my colleagues over in GTPE that now when they provide printable certificates, they have something that shows or makes it unique, like a serial number. It's not necessarily secure, but it is unique. So that would be part of the printable certificate. And then Jane presents the printed certificate to her employer at local company. Her employer manually records their certificate somehow in their HR systems. But then also Jane has all five of those digital credentials in her wallet, and she could use those in different ways other than getting this promotion at local company. So that would be the current state, the short-term flow of events, but the longer term, and this assumes that local company has internal HR systems that knows what to make of these digital credentials. So in this case, Jane opens her wallet, selects the credential, shares it with her employer. The employer verifies the credentials and then ingests them into her employee record. And then when an employment opportunity arises, and this probably implies some kind of skill framework being associated with the credential. But Jane kind of rises to the top as a potential candidate and is flagged as a qualified candidate because of this credential.
Hey, I'm sorry. May I ask a question?
Yes, please.
So she's sharing the digital version, not the paper versions.
In the, I did the, what was it called, Scooby-Doo? So this is the current state reality.
Okay.
But in that case, she only shares local company the printed certificate.
Okay.
This is when local company is ready. You know, local company has systems where they're ready and willing for Jane to share a digital instead of a printed. So in this case, I probably should have specified Jane no longer really has a need for the printed certificate.
Okay. And then even, I'm sorry to interrupt you, I'll let you finish in a second, but the unique serial number that you mentioned that's already on the principal certificate,
uh-huh.
Is that at all going to be tied to the VC, or is that just going to be unique to the system that issues the certificate?
I don't know. This is actually a little bit of a mystery. So I sent this use case to my colleagues at GTP and asked them if they had any feedback. And this was a comment they made to specify that we have unique serial numbers, but I'm not all that certain how that's useful, having a unique serial number on a PDF certificate. I could probably dig into that a little more and add that, how that's used right now and how it might be used in this case.
I'd be curious to know more, like whenever you can, because David also had, the paper certificate, and that keeps coming up more and more. And it seems like in education, we need to think about this some more. So that's interesting to know.
Yes.
Yeah. Just noting it really. Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Okay. Well, and let me.
One more thing. Sorry, John is in the queue right now. I'm going to just call on him. Okay. He has a question about something similar. John?
Not really a question, but I just wanted to remark I'm working on a product right now, and two of the fields that we have saved in the credential are what we call external ID and what we call attachment, because we have also discovered that absolutely. There's going to be an external ID that needs to be tracked and stored and shared outside of the unique ID that the credential has. And also there's almost always kind of an attachment that is needed to be able to do a physical presentation or a digital sharing of a more traditional paper or digital paper kind of certificate. So I would say that both cases are that have been discussed here are required.
That's really interesting, John. So that just keeps coming up, huh? How does that external ID get used in comparison to the internal?
Typically, the external one maps to the external system. So as we talked earlier when I was describing Pocket's architecture, we will map to an existing certificate that is not a verifiable credential and basically create a mirror verifiable credential that the external system can reach out and use and share, and then map back to its own version in whatever repository or database or LMS or SIS that it's living in.
Oh, that's great. That's interesting.
And then we would build a connector which does the translating so that You know, you could build a system. Okay, I've got the certificate. It's in the system. What's the VC that corresponds to it? Edition in Pocket is basically just a wallet that stores schemas and instances of all these VCs. So this reading this use case is one that I feel like I could have easily written, or someone on my team could have written. It's a great use case, by the way.
Awesome. Thanks, Sean. I tried to make some notes in the chat about what you said, but feel free to correct.
And John, I would add, I said earlier that in this version of reality that she probably no longer has a need for the printable certificate, but I shouldn't have said that so definitively. I'm not certain that we're ever going to get rid of people wanting a printed version of some of these certificates. In this use case, I imagine that she would want, that nobody would really care about a printed certificate for just course one. But the printable one, that's the one that they will want. So like the higher stakes credential is kind of what I'm implying, that people will always want printable. So I don't, to hear you say that, John, makes me think that that might be true. Part of that's guesswork on my part, that people will always want those.
I'm going to make one more comment. Maybe Carrie can describe for me while I'm doing this. So the other use case that's encompassed in what you describe is also one that we're managing. So what you can have is what we call a VC with its corresponding child collection. So that what we'll do is we will issue a credential, and then it will have the context of additional credentials, which either validate or make up that kind of parent credential. And it's kind of arbitrary. So whatever business rules you set, would either help trigger that credential or just reflect whatever business rules exist in the LMS or SIS that you're using. And therefore, whenever, for example, you presented, for proof, this, certificate of the program completion, the four courses that they took, which would have both a course enrollment and course completion credential associated, would also be presented along with that parent credential to any system requiring validation. So you hatch, and that's done for a full proof, but it's also done for purposes of transcript-like processing purposes. So interesting thing is that there actually is no structure within VCs right now to support those kinds of relationships. VCs were designed to sort of be standalone and agnostic of each other. So we actually have to build that logic in our own platform to link and create these collections and all the contexts of everything, because we don't want anything to exist in isolation. We have a skill credential that's linked, for example, to possibly to a course completion. You would always get those two handed together. So you just don't claim the skill, but you always have evidence or context for that skill, et cetera, things like that. So, but that doesn't exist in current VC architecture. So we're figuring out how to do that.
Thank you, John. I did the best that I can with that. So
I'm sorry. I went a little fast. So
no, that's fine. That's fine. Sorry. I thought that, Gimchi was in the queue, but he's not anymore. So I'm going to just insert myself
for a minute. If you don't mind, I'm not sure why it didn't put me on the queue. I have a question for John. So we've also came across several use cases needing to link credentials together in the way, either as an attachment or the child, like child-parent relationship. And so we're going to make a proposal to the CCG about the mechanism. I'm curious what kind of mechanism you're using. I want to make sure that we take your usage into consideration.
We are going to convert all of our credentials to JSON LD. And then hopefully contain all the linkages within the format itself. But none of the current credential platforms libraries that we're using actually support JSON LD yet. So we're working with, for example, the Aries project in this case to be able to do that. And there's going to be additional metadata on top of that. So, you know, because we have use cases for data that doesn't exist in the credential properly, but is linked to a repository so that if you were within our network, you would get richer data. If you weren't, you would still get enough data to just accept the isolated credential and acknowledge it. So.
Makes sense.
Carrie is in the queue. IOCLR has a way to make those relationships too, but they're not formally in the, I mean, again, it would have to be sort of in the data model, but not actually in the credential itself, right? That's the catch, at least at the moment. I think things are changing. Everybody understands that this needs to be done, but there isn't a standard yet for it. It's happening kind of as we speak that, you know, there's a growing recognition that this is a requirement for VCs in general.
Yeah, we have there's a CLR meeting this week, and I think we should talk about that, in that meeting too. Before folks get too far along, right? If we can somehow do that, but I see what you mean, because it's a relationship between the VCs, not a relationship between, the content inside of the credential.
Right.
Did I get that right, John?
Yes.
And John, I maybe if you don't mind typing a little bit up about what you just said, I think missed it. And Dimitri's answer. Dimitri, did that answer your question?
Yes, and it sounds like it's compatible with what we're going to propose to the CCG. We're using a fairly simple anchored resource term in the credentials to link credentials to each other, and also there's a hash link component so that it's cryptographic. Mm-hmm. The link is cryptographically bound.
Interesting. When do you think you'll be presenting that on CCG?
Well, it sounds like this is a topic of interest with several people, so might even raise it up as an issue like today or tomorrow.
Okay.
And then ask, you know, work with the chairs about when to schedule the discussion, but at least issue form. Shortly.
Okay, one, may I call on you to speak to what you put in the chat, if you don't mind?
Sure. The toy blink?
Yes.
I don't know too much about it except that it's somewhat controversial. I've heard some people say it is a little, incompatible with the current VC spec, and I've heard other people say, well, then we should change the current VC spec. So this is not to say that the AC/DC proposal is a good fit or anything. I'm just putting it on people's radar as maybe a possibly compatible or incompatible alternative. It is for chaining VCs together in a sort of sequential way, or encoding whole web of trust relationships in a series of linked VCs, but I don't know very much about it. It's not my specialty.
Oh, that's okay. Thank you for mentioning it.
Yeah, I just wanted to be on people's radar so people aren't surprised if someone says,
That's very interesting.
We've already solved this. The worst thing you want is to be surprised by someone saying they've already solved a very hard problem.
I'm aware of that. A daisy chain is not exactly the same thing as a collection, which is interesting. Hmm. Like this is one use case of a relationship, which is sort of like a lineage kind of relationship. And that's actually not, that covers some, but not all of the use cases. So it's interesting.
Okay.
Yes. Lineages are important. So.
Okay. Also, I want to mention that it's sort of in the carry sphere. So it may not map well or neatly to DIDs and VCs. in its current form.
Awesome, thank you. And I'm making a silly comment in the chat, and I can't help myself every time Carrie comes up.
I wondered.
There is a carry sphere, but it has nothing to do with this. Okay. Anybody else have any questions here? Not Matt, do you want to take it from here?
Sure. I'll just add one note that I put in a comment after it. I forgot to mention, but I described these as being four courses that were completed, but they could also be four modules within a course. That might be a separate use case, but it's similar enough that I didn't break it out. So it could be like four units within a course kind of thing. Okay. So I think I left off at post condition. So success criteria. Jane has access to all of her credentials in her digital wallet and can decide what she shares with others. So she's in control of them. She doesn't have to call Georgia Tech for them. The company can verify the credentials and consume the data so that when a promotion opportunity arises, they can quickly understand Jane's qualifications and trust the data without contacting Georgia Tech. And I guess in this case, the most important one is Jane can become a candidate for promotions that she otherwise wouldn't have been considered for. So just removing friction in the system, increases her prospects. Points of failure. Georgia Tech is unable to issue. The company can't verify either Jane or Georgia Tech. And then the company's HR systems don't know what to do with digital credentials. And then I put, or Jane's unable to present a printed certificate to someone. There are probably way more points of failure than that, but I was feeling optimistic.
Sure. Thank you. Mine are always optimistic. Matt, are you aware of any employers who are working with Georgia Tech that might be interested in doing this? And not that you have to like name them out loud or anything. I was just wondering if there are any who are lining up to look at this and what their reasons might be.
Yeah, I think for sure. I think they're getting this kind of request all the time. If we ever wanted to dig in more or, you know, wanted me to try to reach out to one of these companies to run this use case by them, to totally do that as well.
I mean, that would be great. One of the things that Phil Long was suggesting last week is, and I haven't done this yet on mine, is to look at our flows and sort of add in a flow of events from the perspective of an employer. Mm-hmm. And see what it looks like for them. And not maybe the whole thing, right? Because I don't know if they need a whole other use case, but it'd be interesting to know from their perspective, what does this look like? So we can sort of understand, well, what are the barriers for them? I imagine like one of the barriers would be like, well, who's going to build the software so that I can use this?
Right. Yeah. Right?
There's probably a lot of that. But if that happens along the way, that would be great. I think we definitely need more verifier and third party relier stories.
Yeah.
We often take this from an issuer perspective. All right. John is in the queue.
I just wanted to mention the Pocket group at ASU is also working with something that's called AZ Next, which is like the equivalent thing at ASU. For this effort, and we've talked about like how we might be get in contact with any of the professional organizations and companies that are partnered with AZ Next, and been told that it's just difficult to get them to partner, and they don't want to try to taint that whole partnership with like additional requirements like this sort of thing, so that the credentials are going to be issued and tracked, but there won't be anyone to cash it at the other side for quite some time. So I do think this is a big issue, which, you know, needs to be surfaced, that we, you know, right now it's not really a two-way street and may not be for some time until there's just growing awareness of the benefits that an HR department could actually get from a system like this.
I just keep jumping in because I'm presenting as, but not out of my sub's queue. Hopefully that's okay. But I would second that. And I would say too, I think that the companies that are coming saying that they're really interested in this, it's not so much they want the, or that they're ready to do the sort of like hardcore integration where their people's skills are rising to the surface because of these integrations between credentials and HR systems. I think they see it more as a benefit for retention of employees to get credentials from Georgia Tech, like to send employees to Georgia Tech to get credentials. It's more that than the integration that I think people are that companies are really excited about. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Curious on the queue.
Yeah, that does make sense. John, what are some of the reasons why they don't want those additional requirements? Is it just they have enough on their plates and they just don't want to take that on right now?
I think that's literally as simple as that.
So obviously to them, the work, the benefits don't outweigh the work that has to be done to do this.
Yes. Right now. I think we can make the case that they would, but we're not in a position to do it yet, so that's why I think it's to Phil's point, it's going to be you know, something that we need to be able to present.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Matt, do you want to move on to the next use case? Thanks.
Okay, so my second one is, I think, pretty closely related to the one that David Ward presented last week, and that it sort of hinges on QR codes a little bit. So let's see. So the idea here, so at Georgia, I did a really specific one, but I think the general idea here is presenting a credential in real life to get access to a physical space. But the specific one I did was makerspaces. So as an example, Georgia Tech has something like, I don't know, 8 or 9 makerspaces around campus. And wouldn't it be nice if a student could do the general training online, get a credential, and go to any of those 8 makerspaces and get access to them? So that's generally the use case. Jessica does an online course. She's issued a credential. She now has it in her wallet, and she can present that credential at the front door at each of these makerspaces. One wrinkle here is that there's different levels of access. So, for example, there's some equipment that requires specific training. So just by completing the general orientation, Jessica wouldn't have access to some specific equipment. So it would need to be complex enough that it would know she has access to X but not to Y. So that's the high-level overview. Applicable standards, these are probably also very similar: open badges, verifiable credentials, verifiable presentations, DIDs and OIDC, and then technologies, GT authentication, and then some kind of hardware at the front door. I put entry verifier scanners. I don't know what you would call them. That's may have just made up a thing. And then a wallet. So the goals, so Jessica wants to get access to all these makerspaces. Let me back up real quick on the overview. I should say too, I didn't add this to the use case because I didn't want to make it too complex, but there's also interest for makerspaces in the Atlanta area outside of Georgia Tech to also, I've talked to a faculty member at Georgia Tech who runs a makerspace in the Atlanta area who he would love to give, if people have access to Georgia Tech makerspace, he'd love to give them access to the makerspace he works out at outside of Georgia Tech. But I didn't add that to the use case because I didn't want to make it too wrinkly.
Good.
Okay, so, oh, I'm sorry.
All good.
Okay, so the goal is Jessica wants to present a credential to get access. The actors are Jessica and the folks who work at these makerspaces. Preconditions is Jessica has a digital wallet. And I think in this case, specifically on her smartphone, just add that real quick. The college has a method for issuing these credentials, and the college also has some sort of hardware that allows a person to present a credential and get access. So flow of events, this is all very hypothetical, how I imagined it would probably work, but Jessica completes an online course in our learning management system. The learning management system presents a deep link, and she can add the credential to her wallet on her phone. And then she arrives at the front door at a makerspace. She selects the credential in her wallet. So here's where I jump right to QR code. Maybe there's a better way to do it other than QR code, but I assume that the credential would present a QR code and that that could be scanned by the entry equipment. And then I also assume that that's not going to be enough, that we also want to know that Jessica hasn't just loaned her phone to her roommate, so that the system would then ask Jessica to log in with her GT account. Jessica's granted entry to the makerspace, and then she's restricted from using certain equipment until further training certification is completed. Okay, the success criteria is that she can complete the requirements once and be granted access to all of our campus makerspaces, so she wouldn't need to have, it would make it easier for her to get access to all campus makerspaces, and that they can grant entry securely without extensive manual verification for each student. So I'm sort of assuming here that this means that you don't have to have a person standing at the front door granting access. Points of failure. Jessica earns the credential and hands her phone and her login information to a roommate. Jessica's roommate is able to add Jessica's credential to their wallet. And then Jessica is able to access equipment that she's not yet completed training for. And that I point that one out just because there, you know, this is like it could be very unsafe for that, point of failure to exist.
Sure.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, this is a good use case. You know, years ago, before verifiable credentials got this far, I presented with somebody who was using open badges for something similar, except he was using them for first responders. And they're using it for first responders to get access to situations where they're qualified for, like emergency situations, which is kind of fascinating, right? Because also that's pretty critical.
Yeah.
And the badges are being issued by their departments. They forget what he was doing for the verification. He was thinking beyond, like, he was really, like, he had it hardened, but I forget what he was doing. I may try and reach out to him and see what he was doing now with that. The point about, you know, Susan, I think it was Susan taking Jessica's credential is an interesting one, and it comes up quite a bit.
Yeah.
I was going to comment that in our Pocket app, you know, we will probably require a biometric sign-in to be able to access your VCs. So hopefully that's our goal. Isn't implemented yet, but we will be doing, because we actually have a live app with a wallet that stores VCs in it. And, you'll not only have to have a passcode to get in, but that will be linked to biometrics. So, you know, unless you can bypass the biometrics, and there's always ways to do that, but that adds another level of security. The other thing that we want to be able to do is to link certain kinds of VCs to the identity itself, so that when the identity is presented, the credentials are also presented, so that this could be part of your overall ID. So that if you needed specific access, for example, to a dorm or to a classroom or something, it could be, that credential could be passed along with the identity credential on presentation, and you would be able to do it. We've really thought about how you could use your wallet on your smartphone, possibly with QR codes, it might be flipped around, because traditionally what should actually happen is they'll ask you for proof and you would scan a QR code. But you would say that I'm this person and then, okay, prove it, and then scan the code and get in. So that might be the case. I don't know yet. We're still trying to figure out all those flows, but it is an interesting use case. You know, basically proof of identity and qualification.
Right. Dimitri, your comment, you and I have talked about this recently too. Matt?
Yeah, I was going to say too that, so I mentioned earlier that we have a master's student in our HCI program here doing some research, UX research on digital credentials. And, she questioned how focused we are on wallets. And it made me think about this use case as well. There's really no reason that a wallet needs to exist in, potentially no reason a wallet needs to exist here. If she completes the training, there's our learning management system in the same way that my other use case, local company has a record that, that employee had earned that verifiable credential. We could have a record that this student, completed this training. And then perhaps she swipes an ID card or something to access, and then it checks the verifiable credential. So I could have written this several ways. I wrote it with the wallet being the center of the flow, but I'm not sure that's necessary.
Interesting, Daniel. We are thinking about how the wallet could replace the physical ID card so that mm-hmm. you have your ID card on your wallet.
Yep.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too when you said that, Matt, about how that could be the case in the future too.
Yeah, this use case I think is the nearest term, you know, what would be the first stab at this, you know.
Matt, would you put the link to this use case in the chat for me? Because I put in the wrong use case. I put in David's first aid use case by mistake.
Sure.
Wrong in my list. Thank you. Okay, I'm just looking at the time, so we're going to tie up soon. Matt, thank you for presenting these. This is great. It brought up a lot of interesting topics. And every time people bring a use case, this is what happens. So I would love to see if we have a few more. I know I'll have a few more, but we will see how that goes. Things that are on my list of topics that I know will be interesting for this group has to do with DIDs and understanding DIDs and which DIDs to use, which is very tied to wallets. Also, I think we might have a wallet presentation in the near future. Another thing that I think we really should talk about is like this elephant in the room that isn't being talked about nearly enough at all, actually not at all, is governance and how that is going to work in education. And I know about a year or half or so ago, we started talking about this group called the Internet of Education, and they had proposed like a whole new governance structure for education. And there was a lot of controversy around that because there's already so many other accrediting institutions. And it will be interesting to see how we could just talk about it and see where we go with that discussion too. And if we need to somehow get that into use cases or bubble it up, I'll talk about it more in some other way. Before I close out, does anybody have anything else they'd like to add before we sign off? Okay. Well, Matt, thank you very much for presenting your use cases today. And John, you did a kick-ass job doing notes in the scribe. So thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Have a good week, everyone.
Thanks, Karen. You too.